Hello and welcome to our books segment, our book review program brought to you by Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Angie Laragoiti, and during the next half hour, I'll be reading some articles from different sources, so I do hope that you enjoy the program. So I'd love to get into some new books that are coming out in February. These are going to like the most anticipated books. So I'm going to talk a little bit about those. Well, if January's reads have kept anyone, you know, warm through the winter, just wait until you see what we have or what is available and around, you know, on the hearth for February. Whether you're looking to cozy up with a daring paranormal, you know, romance, or feel the chill of a haunting dark academia retelling, there's something for you on this list that I'm going to discuss here of books. Looking for a magical debut or another dazzling tale from an author that you already love? Well, here are, you know, some new ones, okay? Some enough to stoke the flames of all your literary desires. The first one is called The Book of Love. It's a novel by Kelly Link, the debut novel for a short story genius. The Book of Love evokes immediate similarities to Stranger Things as three high school friends are tossed into an otherworldly power struggle a year after their disappearance. In Kelly Link's masterful hands, this is a novel that will win over a multitude of new fans while further endearing her to those who have been reading her short stories, you know, for years. In the book called, another novel called Ours by Philip B. Williams, this is an epic debut novel from an acclaimed poet conjured from humankind's quest for freedom, folklore, and magic. Indelible characters and also gorgeous prose is one of the best books that some people are saying that they've read in years. And I have to say, these are a few novels here that I'm going to be discussing with you. Wandering Stars is another one by Tommy Orange. Tommy Orange follows his acclaimed debut There with this multi-generational saga that cuts across centuries, beginning with the Sand Creek Massacre. This book is a damning indictment of America's treatment of its native population. Okay. Now, in An Education in Malice by S.T. Gibson, this is a little different. At its core, An Education in Malice will appeal to fans of dark academia and also of dark romances. This Dracula retelling is dizzying, and it's, you know, seductive, offset by genuine human emotion. It's perfect for fans of the Atlas Six, or House of Hunger. The next one on the list is called The Warm Hands of Ghost by Catherine Arden. It's a haunting historical novel inspired by real-life stories from World War I. And this is a tale of siblings separated by war and their search for reunion. With a speculative twist, The Warm Hands of Ghost weaves the historical with the supernatural with delightful ease. And Fathom Folk by Eliza Chan. It's a beautifully wrought fantasy about immigration, found family, and diaspora. Fathom Folk is rich in imagination and mythological roots, and set against a modern landscape. And this is perfect for fans of Jade City and The Bone Shard Daughter, if you are familiar with those two books. Next up, by Allie Hazelwood, is Bride. From the leader of the romance pack comes a paranormal love story marking Hazelwood's first, with plenty of laughs, spicy romantic tension, and characters that you'll want to, you know, spend time with. It's sure to resonate with fans and newcomers alike. In The Teacher by Freda McFadden, this one, Freda McFadden knows how to captivate a readership, and she does it again with this breakneck thriller. You know, it's complete with a delicious Me Too twist with the help of her dynamic, the help of two dynamic female protagonists. This is a mystery that is a sheer joy to solve. Kristen Hanna, The Women, another novel. This one is both singular and expansive in focus. It's centered on a young nursing student who joins the Army Nursing Corps and is sent to Vietnam. The newest novel from the bestselling author of The Four Winds and The Nightingale is a stark reminder of the sacrifices women make for their country. In the novel, I Love You So Much, It's Killing Us Both, this one's by Mariah Stovall. Mariah Stovall, who has crafted an unforgettable and original coming-of-age story with an incisively humorous and delightfully unconventional narrator, full of sympathy and peppered with punk rock. And this is a story of friendship, love, and more. Perfect for fans of Melissa Broder and Nick Hornby, if you're familiar with those two. In Neighbors and Other Stories, this one's by Diane Oliver. Diane Oliver was a woman ahead of her time who would be widely known were it not for her untimely death. And her remarkable and intimate stories are now available in this engrossing collection. Next up is The Great Wave, the era of radical disruption and the rise of the outsider. This one's by Michiko Kakitani. The magnitudes, I should say, of modern chaos need to be contextualized. And this is exactly what Michiko Kakitani does in The Great Wave, with parallels to the Black Plague and the 60s, the 1960s. This is a zoomed out look at what we're facing and a hopeful insight into how to make sure that it's building towards a better future. And I am going to read up just a couple of more. Imagination, a Manifesto by Rua Benjamin. Rua Benjamin builds an immensely compelling and, you know, insightful narrative around the concept that our imaginations, you know, already know what a better world looks like. And it's a reminder that we can do what we set our minds to. And that imagination is a perfectly fine building block to start from. And lastly on the list, I Heard Her Call My Name, a memoir of transition by Lucy Santi. It's a deeply personal, immensely human memoir of Lucy Santi's journey to find herself. And, you know, this is a journey of a story of transition and identity told in prose. And that is equal parts biting and empathetic and hilarious as well. And so those are some new books that are coming out in February. And let's go and check out, let's see here, some more books to talk about. All right, now, Womb City, I should say, by Tlotlo Tisamas. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, so I'm sorry about that. In Womb City, imagines a dark and deadly future, Botswana, rich with culture and true folklore. Which begs the question, how far must one go to destroy the structures of inequality upon which a society was founded? Well, how far must a mother go to save the life of her child? Well, Naya seems to have it all. Wealth, fame, a husband, and a child on the way. But in a body, her husband controls via microchip and the tailspin of a loveless marriage, her hopes and dreams come to a devastating halt. A drug-fueled night of celebration ends in a hit and run. To dodge a sentencing in a society that favors men, Naya and her side piece, Janeth Koshai, finished the victim off and buried the body. But the secret claws its way into Naira's life from the grave as her victim's vengeful ghost begins exacting, a bloody revenge on everyone Naya holds dear. She'll have to unravel her society's terrible secrets to stop those in power and become a monster unlike any other to quench the ghost's violent thirst. And again, that one is called Womb City. Next up is Family Family by Lori Frankel. Now, not all stories of adoption are stories of pain and regret. Not even most of them. But why don't we ever get that movie, right? So India Allwood grew up wanting to be an actor, armed with a stack of index cards for research, line memorization, makeshift confetti. You know, she goes from awkward 16-year-old to Broadway ingenue to TV superhero. Now, her new movie is a prestige picture about adoption, but its spin is the same old tired story of tragedy. India is an adoptive mom in real life, though. And she wants everyone to know that there's more to her family than pain and regret. So she does something you should never do. She tells a journalist the truth. It's a bad movie. Soon, she's at the center of a media storm, battling accusations from the press and the paparazzi, from protesters on the right and advocates on the left. Her twin 10-year-olds know they need help, and who better to call than family? But that's where it gets really messy. Because India is not just an adoptive mother. Now, the one thing that she knows for sure is what makes a family isn't blood. And it isn't love. No matter how they've formed, the truth about family is this: it's complicated. Okay, so. All right. Next up is The Mysterious Case of the Alperton Angels by Janice Hallett. Everyone knows the story of this, of the Alperton Angels, the cult who brainwashed a teenage girl into believing that her baby was the Antichrist. Now, when the girl came to her senses and called the police, the angels committed suicide and mother and baby disappeared. Now, true crime author Amanda Bailey is looking to revive her career by writing a book on the case. So the Alperton baby had turned 18. Finding them will be the scoop of the year. But rival author Oliver Menzies is just as smart, better connected, and also on the baby's trail. And as Amanda and Oliver are forced to collaborate, they realize that the truth about the angels is much darker and stranger than they ever imagined. And in pursuit of the story, they risk becoming part of it. All right, so I'm gonna change it up here, change gears, and talk about Diva by Daisy Goodwin. Now, let me tell you a little bit here. New York Times bestselling author Daisy Goodwin returns with a story of the scandalous love affair between the most celebrated opera singer of all time and one of the richest men in the world. Now, in the glittering and ruthlessly competitive world of opera, Maria Callas was known simply as La Divina, the Divine One. With her glorious voice, instinctive flair for the dramatic, and striking beauty, she was the toast of the grandest opera houses in the world. But her fame was won hard. Raised in Nazi-occupied Greece by a mother who mercilessly exploited her golden voice, she learned early in life to protect herself from those who would use her for their own good, for their own ends. When she met the fabulously rich Greek shipping magnate Aristotle Onassis for the first time in her life, she believed she found someone who saw the woman within the legendary soprano, and she fell desperately in love. He introduced her to a life of unbelievable luxury, showering her with jewels and sojourns in the most fashionable international watering holes with celebrities like Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton, and the Duke and Duchess of Windsor. And then suddenly it was over. the international press announced that Irisarri Onassis would marry the most famous woman in the world, former First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy, leaving Maria to pick up the pieces. Next up is The Bullet Swallower by Elizabeth Gonzalez James. Now, a dazzling magical realism Western in the vein of Carmack, McCarthy meets Gabriel Garcia Marquez. The Bullet Swallower follows a Mexican bandido as he sets off for Texas to save his family, only to encounter a mysterious figure who has come, finally, to collect a cosmic debt. Generations in the making. In 1895, Antonio Sonoro is the latest in a long line of ruthless men. He's good with his gun and is drawn to trouble, but he's also out of money and out of options. A drought has ravaged the town of Dorado, Mexico, where he lives with his wife and children. And so when he hears about a train laden with gold and other treasures, he sets off for Houston to rob it, and with his younger brother Hugo in tow. But when the heist goes awry and Hugo is killed by the Texas Rangers, Antonio finds himself launched into a quest for revenge that endangers not only his life and his family, but his eternal soul. In 1964, Jaime Sonoro is Mexico's most renowned actor and singer, but his comfortable life is disrupted when he discovered a book that, purports to tell the entire story of his family, beginning with Cain and Abel and its ancient pages. And Jaime learns how the multitude of, horrific crimes committed by his ancestors. And when the same mysterious figure from Antonio's lifeline shows up in Mexico City, Jaime realizes that he may be the one who has to pay for his ancestors', crimes, unless he can discover the true story of his grandfather, Antonio, the legendary. Bandido, the Bullet Swallower. So a family saga that's epic in scope and magical in its blood, and based loosely on the author's own great grandfather. The Bullet Swallower tackles border, politics and intergenerational trauma and the legacies of racism and colonialism in a lush setting and stunning prose that asks who pays for the sins of our ancestors and whether it is possible to be better than our forebears. All right, next up, I'm going to talk about Cheryl Strayed's book called Two Women Walk Into a Bar. Now, Cheryl Strayed, the best-selling author of Wild and Tiny Beautiful Things, finds humor and connection in a poignant, short memoir about love. It's a memoir about love, family secrets, and reconciliation. 21 years after Cheryl Strayed set off on the Pacific Crest Trail to heal from the death of her beloved mother, Cheryl's mother-in-law, Joan, is given weeks to live. And as, she and her husband help see Joan through her final days, Cheryl reckons with their complicated, relationship, determined to connect with a woman who both showed her love and sometimes hilariously held her at a distance. Cheryl reflects, on their two decades, and together as she comes to a deeper understanding of the secrets and sorrows in Joan's complicated past. At Joan's bedside, it's time to contemplate the challenges that they face, to accept their differences and to find some healing, in goodbye. All right, now here's a spicy one for you called Spiced Right by Gigi Templeton. Jillian Parks doesn't need her hybrid scorpion pepper to set her pulse racing. Wildly charismatic rancher Jack Reed does that all on his own in this scorcher from Gigi Templeton. Now, don't ever think I didn't want more time with you, darling. Those were her college boyfriend's last words to her after a phone call summoned him home to Texas. In the 10 years since, Jack Reed has taken over his family's ranch, and Jillian Parks has experienced devastating, losses with traumatic repercussions. Now a reclusive insomniac, she podcasts about the specialty hybrid chili peppers she grows in her Seattle greenhouse, keeping a closed door between her and the past. But when Jillian's producer coaxes her to make a surprise call, you know, into Jack's YouTube barbecue channel. So he's got a YouTube barbecue channel. Their chemistry still sizzled. An invite to the ranch for a follow-up collab is a scary proposal for Jillian, but forward movement is key to her recovery. And it's time to take the bull by the horns. With Jack's commanding yet soothing presence, maybe this charismatic cowboy is just the right ingredient, you know, to help her heal while adding a different kind of spice. Okay. A different kind of spice there to her life. Okay, so in the book, The Deceiving Look, all right, by Victor Methos. Sheriff Billy Gray calls on Solomon Shepard once more to tackle an investigation to the murder of a criminal defense attorney in this heart-pounding thriller from best-selling author of A Killer's Wife. When a local criminal defense attorney turns up dead, Sheriff Billy Gray arrives on the scene. At first glance, the lawyer's death looks like a suicide, but Billy knows better. This was murder. Now, to assist with the investigation, Billy calls on her old friend, Solomon Shepard, who isn't so eager to accept after a traumatic attack left him mentally in shambles. Solomon is on indefinite leave from the county attorney's office, but Billy needs him, and he can't say no to Billy. So as Billy and Solomon hurtle into the investigation, they soon realize the killer may be closer to them than they ever thought possible. Can they catch a killer who anticipates their every move before they find themselves in the crosshairs? Well, we shall see. And in this one, tell you a little bit more here. So the best friend, the confidant, the confidant, the senator and the boyfriend, the executive. Five contestants have been chosen to compete for the $10 million on the game show One Lucky Winner. The catch? Well, none of them knows what or who to expect, and it will be live streamed all over the world. Completely secluded in an estate in Northern California, with strict instructions not to leave the property and zero contact with the outside world, the competitors start to feel a little too isolated. When long-kept secrets begin to rise to the surface, the contestants realize that this is no longer just a reality show. Someone is out for blood, and the game can't end until the world knows who the contestants really are. In Still See You Everywhere by Lisa Gardner, from the number one New York Times bestselling author Lisa Gardner, comes a harrowing new Frankie Elkin. Is an expert at finding the missing persons than the rest of the world has forgotten. But even she couldn't have anticipated this latest request to locate the long-lost sister of a female serial killer facing execution in 3 weeks' time. The case was sensational. Kaylee Pearson had confessed from the very beginning, waived all appeals. She had called herself Death, but people called her the Devil, despite the media chronicling her tragic, circumstances. The childhood spent with a violent father. No one could find sympathy for the beautiful butcher who had led 18 men home from bars before, killing them. Now with only 21 days Left to Live, Pearson has finally received a lead on the whereabouts of the sister who was kidnapped over a decade ago, and she needs Frankie's help to find her. The Beautiful Butcher's Offer. Unable to resist the chance for a rescue, Frankie takes on Pearson's request. 12 years ago, 5-year-old Leilani went missing in Hawaii. The main suspect, Pearson's tech mogul ex-boyfriend Sanders McManus, now in a remote island in the middle of the Pacific, the site of McManus's latest vanity project. Fresh evidence has appeared in order to learn the truth and possibly save a young woman's life. Frankie must go undercover at the isolated base camp. A dozen strangers, countless, dangerous secrets, zero means of calling for help, and then the storm rolls in. That one's called Still See You Everywhere by Lisa Gardner. Coming up in April, there's She's Not Sorry by Mary Kubica. There's Darling Girls by Sally Hepworth. One of Us Knows by Alyssa Cole. There's also Missing White Woman. Let's see this one. Missing White Woman by Kelly Garrett. Yeah, this is in this twisty thriller, I should say, and compulsive page-turner from the award-winning author of Like a Sister, a woman thinks that she's waking up to a romantic vacation, only to find a body in her rental home, and her boyfriend is gone. It was supposed to be, a romantic getaway weekend in New York City. Brenda's new boyfriend, Ty, took care of everything, the train tickets, the dinner reservations, the rented 4-story luxury, row house in Jersey City with a beautiful view of the Manhattan skyline. But when Bree comes downstairs, their final morning, Ty is nowhere to be found, and there's a stranger dead in the foyer, and the missing woman the entire internet has become obsessed with, Janelle Beckett. Soon, from, both the police and an army of internet, sleuths are asking questions. Bree doesn't know how to answer, desperate to find Ty and to keep her own secrets buried. Bree realizes that there's only one person she can turn to, her ex-best friend, a lawyer, with whom she shares a very complicated past. Fierce, smart, and thrilling to the end, Missing White Woman not only explores missing white woman syndrome and traveling while black, but deftly inverts the hallmarks of the domestic suspense genre to ask, how well can we truly know the people that we love? And what happens to these stories when seen through the eyes of a black woman? Well, there you have it. A little bit about Missing White Woman by Kelly Garrett.